Well, 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 we are back. Welcome to Crime Pursuit Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Bounds, along with Lauren Van Sickle. And we don't have a new pursuit. We're just here for part two. Lauren, lay it on us.
All right. All right. We've got Chance Engelbert. He is a 26-year-old male who was last seen walking away from his wife's grandparents' home in Gearing, Nebraska, after a family disagreement on July 6, 2019 at roughly 7 p.m. Chance was reported last seen wearing Wrangler jeans, a Wrangler short-sleeve shirt, Roper boots, and a black and white trucker hat, and is described as a Caucasian male, 5'10", 195 pounds, with light brown hair and hazel eyes, with a medium build. Chance, along with his wife and infant son, were in Gearing to visit his wife's family for the 4th of July weekend. After a day of golfing out, his wife states that he got upset after a comment was made and demanded to head back to their home in Moorcroft, Wyoming. Upon returning to the home they were visiting to pick up belongings, Baylor reported Chance took off walking, as sometimes he does to clear his head, except this time he did not return, and he's not been located since, leaving the question, where is Chance Engelbert?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Part one was real interesting, and I thought his friend, I was talking about this at work, and, you know, a friend of mine was saying, you know, man, that's really nice of him, just knowing a guy for 2 or 3 years and to go out of his way, you know, to look for this guy. And I said, yeah, yeah. And we had a lot of people reach out to us regarding this story. And we want people to know that it is okay to reach out to us. We don't mind. We like interacting with you and talking about these cases, because you never know when somebody is calling in or letting us know to give us a tip, or, you know, to let the family know something. So, yeah, you feel free to let us know. All right. So, for part two, we have Chance's mother, Dawn
Engelbert.
Okay.
He always gets stuck on that last name.
Dawn Engelbert, we have you as a guest. Welcome.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. I want to get it right, Dawn. I just want to get it right. I'm sorry.
We'll stick with Dawn from now on.
Yeah, we'll stick with Dawn. You're right.
We are very happy to have you on the show.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we kind of just want to start things off. I know we do have a part one of this episode, so not episode case, but if you have not heard that, definitely go back and check out the first part of the series. This is part two, but we kind of gave the intro, but we'd like to start with who definitely knows him better than anybody, his mom, Dawn Engelbert. And we're just going to kind of hand it over to you for a moment. And we'd like to just kind of know the kind of person that Chance was. Just, you know, tell us a little bit about your son.
Chance was bigger than life. As a little boy, he was so precious and cared about everybody. He would have tummy aches because he'd be worried people were, that he didn't make people happy. And he just lit up a room. I'm sorry. This is so hard.
No, you're fine. Take your time.
We are here for you. You absolutely
take your time.
He just lit up a room. He was friends with everybody. Everybody wanted to be his friend. He was the class clown. He was the athlete. He was the first one to help anybody out. He was cocky. And he had no self-confidence. He just worked hard at everything he did.
And that's kind of the exact same things we've heard from everybody else. Everybody else we've talked to, we've had people message in, speak up for Chance on, you know, his behalf. And that is exactly what we've heard from everybody else. So this is certainly, this is not just a loss to, you know, to family, to parents, a sibling. This is a loss to entire community. I mean, he has been involved with the rodeo, which is a family in itself, as far as I'm concerned. So can you tell me a little bit about him with that? When did he get started in the rodeo?
It was 6th, 7th grade. The boy started doing 4-H rodeo and Little Rascal Bulls, and he wanted to be a bareback rider. That was his goal, to be a bareback rider. So he was just going to ride bulls until he got old enough to ride bareback horses.
And so did he eventually ride the bareback horses?
Yep. Yep. In 9th grade, his grandpa Dean got him signed up for rodeo Bible camp in New Underwood. South Dakota, and he went and got on his first bareback horses. Dustin Looper was his coach. Dustin's still involved in our family. He's actually my middle boy's coach at Shadron State College. And they made him a bareback rider.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, I mean, this is a kid that grew up in the rodeo. He's got, you know, he's athletic. He's got friends. I mean, there's, yes. He's very well known in this community. This is a loss for many, many people and has touched many people's hearts. And I mean, it's touched ours. We are here locally in Indiana for us, but we are just as connected to the story. It seems, I mean, we've put so much into this and we definitely are feeling the loss as well of him not, you know, of not knowing. I mean, we don't know, we don't have answers right now. So I kind of want to touch back on the family. It's been talked about how Chance is a family man. He loves his family. He would never just walk off and leave this family. So can you tell me, I mean, you have a pretty large family, correct?
Yes and no. I'm an only child, so he has my my parents, and my husband has two sisters, so we have lots of cousins on my husband's side. We have a lot of cousins that aren't blood, but they've been with us since day one. And with the rodeo family, absolutely. We have a huge family. He worked in North Dakota, and I've had so many of those kids reach out to us, and nobody believes it.
Because nobody believes he would ever walk away.
No.
And that's where
his best friend knew the first night we put out on Facebook, has anybody seen Chance? And he was right down there because he knew Chance wouldn't walk away more than, you know, the night.
Saturday and you're referring morning. To DJ, correct?
Yes. Yep. Okay. And by Sunday morning, everybody knew this was wrong.
Right. And DJ, now, so to go back, we're talking about, you know, Chance being a child. And so I know DJ has said that his grandparents grew up next to, or is it both grandparents yep. lived next to each other yep. or something like that?
DJ grew up in Edgemont next to my folks. And, he was with Chance since kindergarten.
So they have, I mean, that is his yep. best friend. He knows yep. him. He yep. knows, hey, if he's not, if he's walked off longer than an hour, you know, this isn't yep. usual, you know, so he made his way down there and immediately started looking.
DJ's not just a friend. DJ's is like his brother. He loved and hated each other.
That's family.
He knows him. Yep, he knows.
Yeah, I definitely have gotten the vibe from everybody that we've talked to that, you know, I mean, he loved hard and he loved big, and the feelings were mutual from everybody else towards him. So we've got a man that, you know, is very family connected. He's very well known in his community. And when I say that, I want to remind people that this is somebody, if you see him walking in an area, you see him out and about, you would recognize his face. You would know who Chance is, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. I mean, he's been involved in so many different, you know, activities, different groups, different, you know, extracurricular activities that, I mean, yeah. he is, well, you know, when it's small town, you know, and yeah. that's sometimes the problem with small town is that, you know, small town, everybody talks and has so much to say, but then sometimes you get involved with these small towns and people know how to be quiet real quick too. So that's kind of where we're at with this story is that, you know, Chance wouldn't just walk away. We've heard that through and through from everybody. So, you know, that leaves so many questions left to what happened. So I kind of want to go back to, you know, that night. It was a Saturday. Matt got that phone call from Chance, talked to him, and then sent you a message and said, you know, hey, something's not right. Can you give me a call? And then if you want to just kind of pick up from there and just kind of briefly go over, just for our new listeners, where we would be from there.
Yep. Everett, my husband, and I were just sitting home Saturday night. And Matt messaged me and said, hey, Mama Don, we need to talk. Call me. So I called him, and he's like, yeah, I don't know what's up, but Chance had issues, had words with the in-laws, and he needs somebody to come pick him up. He's headed, taking the ditch to Torrington. And I made the comment, because everybody knows, that I said, I'm not sure if he'll want to talk to me. For one, Chance had asked me to give him some time this week to work on his marriage. And so I thought with that, he probably wouldn't. And you know what? He's 25 years old. And if he had problems with his wife, he doesn't want his mom involved. And so I said, I will get with his dad and his Uncle John. And so that's what I did. I didn't call Chance. I didn't text him. I called his Uncle John and told him something was wrong and you needed to try to get with Chance. So he called and texted him. And really, we didn't even think much of that. My husband called and texted him. Then Aunt Katie called and texted him. And Everett knew something was wrong right away. So he called another friend from Moorcroft, thinking that surely he would have called him, because he's a little bit older than Chance and an amazing role model. And so Larry said, no, I haven't heard from him. Let me call Bailey. And that's all we were told. Larry had called Bailey and asked and said, you've got to call Everett. He needs to know what's going on. And so Bailey did reach out to my husband, and she was casual about it and just said, you know, I don't know why he took this so personal, and he just walked off, and I haven't found him yet.
Okay, so I kind of want to just, and I hate to interrupt you, just right there. And just kind of want to touch back on that. I know you just kind of, there were definitely some emotions there, and you said, you know, I don't know if he's going to answer if we call. And, you know, there's been, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, I guarantee you, you've been on different groups on Facebook. There's been a lot of digs at that particular comment for you. We don't have to go into this, but every family has things that are going on, you know, and sometimes you're just... You know, you're not on the best foot with somebody. You know what I mean? We have emotions going when somebody's got issues in their marriage. You know, a lot of times you don't want to take that to that person who's always going to have your back and is your number one, because, you know, you want to work that out. You don't want to create any bad water between anybody. So I just want to clarify for our listeners that, you know, whether or not there was a disagreement or, you know, some unsettling, you know, situation between, you know, Chance and his family at that moment, that was his family. He loved his family. And that's all that reference is in reference to, is that, you know, everybody says, you know, well, she didn't call. Why were we having the uncle call? You know, in that moment, nobody's expecting that we are going on 6 months of somebody being missing. You know, in that moment, you have to remember, well, he stormed off because he's angry at his wife. And for all you know, people, that could be to the center of why we were having a little bit of this disconnect the week before. And of course, being the mother, you're not going to jump back into that. So I just wanted to stop you and clarify that for people, just because it's totally irrelevant to where Chance is right now. And any factor, you know, nature of answers. So I just wanted to kind of stop and help you out with clearing that up for a bit for our listeners. So I'll let you continue on. You continue on from there. So we're at the point where, you know, Bailey, you know, hadn't reached out to you guys to say anything. You know, at this point she's saying, you know, he stormed off, they're angry. So it took Larry, the neighbor, saying, hey, you need to let, you know, his parents need to know. So then she makes contact with you. And so that is your first knowledge that your son has walked off and that there's something going on. Not necessarily a disappearance at this moment. You know, just thinking he's upset, you know. And then we have this storm coming in where, you know, totally makes, you know, reason for why you wouldn't hear from somebody right away. You know, I mean, you don't know if their phone got wet, it's gotten damaged, maybe can't use his phone, you know. At that point, there's not the cause for all of this alarm. So I want to remind everybody at this point, you know, this is a family disagreement. He is in a town that he's not from. He doesn't know. He's not familiar with, and he's upset, and he's just wanting to get out of that situation in that moment. So that's where we're at with everybody's knowledge of everything at that moment is, you know, at this point, there's not the cause and alarm for a full-on investigation. This is just, hey, he's ticked off, and there was a bad storm. You know, we should check into this. So I want to let you pick up from there, and you continue telling us your story.
Well, my husband kept saying we need to go, and I said, we're 2 hours... a good 2 hours from Torrington. It's 9 o'clock. Where would we begin to look? You know, he's going to come back home and him and Bailey are going to be fine. And then they're going to be mad that we even knew about this. And so I finally did end up texting and I said, you know what, buddy, no questions asked. We don't want to know what happened, but please let one of us know you're okay, or let's get you a motel room until we can work things out. I know his phone got that message, whether it was him or somebody else that got the message, but I know it he did receive it, because the messages I sent the next morning ended up coming back to me 6 days later, that he hadn't answered them, that he never opened them.
And I hate to interrupt you there, and just like you just said, somebody opened those messages, so they were received. And that's actually I'm only chiming in because this is a question that we certainly had, that we wanted to just kind of get your opinion on, just being that, you know, because there's so much out there that people, you know, are thinking on, and so it, unfortunately, because people don't know how to keep things close to an investigation and protect a family. Text exactly. messages have been leaked in groups. Certain things have been said. So it's almost common knowledge, if you're looking into this case or you're a part of it, that the text message sent to Aunt Katie wasn't even legible. I mean, it was just jumbled words. I mean, it's not a top secret thing. It was, you know, I'm a frown face and some unlegible letters.
Exactly.
How does your family feel about this? Do we feel like this was even possibly him that had this phone? Do we think that maybe it wasn't even him on the phone with Matt that called Matt? It was a short conversation. They both had been drinking. Has there ever been any worries for you that that was not your son using that phone?
No, I do feel it was, he called and visited with Eric and Matt. I do feel that. After spending the week down there, we got called in and got interrogated before we were leaving to go back home. I seen videos of him and that time frame of walking down 10th. Very alert, very clear. He did not look like he had a care in the world. He looked like he had a kid with a plan.
Yeah, he was on a mission.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. He was headed to Torrington. And whether people think that's crazy or not, I don't. Yeah, it was a long walk. Is it possible? No. But once Chance makes up his mind, he does it. And he was walking to Torrington. He was leaving. I don't know why. I don't say it was for good or anything. No. He reached out to Matt. He wasn't leaving to start a new life or do anything that everybody's trying to say. He wanted to get back to Moorcroft, get his stuff together, get to that job on Monday morning, and get things worked out.
Right.
So I feel up until 8 o'clock-ish, that was definitely him. I don't think it was him on the phone with Katie.
No.
I honestly don't. That week, because all we heard about was the storm. That's all everybody talked about was the storm and that he was drunk. And
so much emphasis on that storm and this drinking, though. So much emphasis. Yeah. But yet, when you see him on camera, you say he's walking with intention, not stumbling. Yeah. When Matt spoke to him on the phone, stumbling. Matt said he was coherent. He was able to explain what was going on. He was just angry.
Yes. Yep. And so that first week, I thought that he probably pulled his phone out of the pocket to look at who was texting or calling, and he wiped it off, and maybe. But his phone wasn't that touchy, so that was stupid of me thinking that week. I don't know what happened at 9 o'clock, what happened at 9:08 for that text message to go to his Aunt Katie.
We don't know. So essentially, in your gut, what you're feeling as family is that you know it was him up to 8 p.m. After that's where your questions begin. Then I do recall just from another interview that you did, you had said that you noticed some data being used on the cell phone plan at about 11 p.m. Do you have any further details on that? Or
no, I've not got anything. I feel, and I've talked to a couple of people in Verizon, and that, you know, it could have been an app running. It could have been an update. So I do feel his phone was still on from 9 to 11. I've been told it was probably shut off, but it couldn't be shut off and have updates run. It wasn't enough data to look like he looked at anything. I really feel it was just some updates being done on his Apple phone.
Right. And so, and then here comes, you know, the talk of phones. So I'm going to bring it up only because it keeps coming up and it keeps being an issue. There was a cell phone found. Matt discussed it a little bit on our first episode. For clarification purposes for people, what do you know to be true on that phone? Did it belong to a trucker or was it a homeless person? Because there's so much out there about that phone.
I honestly can't even tell you anymore. What I was told that week was that it was cleared. I feel like Larry didn't do anything wrong. Larry did everything he was asked and did what he should have done with the phone. He stopped and picked it up. It was wet. He laid it on his dash to dry. Larry told us all about this. The next morning, his wife got it to turn on, and they took a picture of it. So I seen a picture of the phone. It was not Chance's. They gave it to the Moorcroft Police Department. They turned it over to the people in Gillette. And what I was told, and I was being polite when I said it was a homeless person, I was told it was like the town wanderer, the drinker that, you know, he just walks the town and he listens to music on this phone that doesn't even work. It wasn't activated and it fell out of his pocket.
Okay, so there's really no concern for this phone. It's not an active phone. I mean, no, it's not. Nobody can use it for anything other than essentially something that's saved on it, is what you're saying, correct?
Yes. Okay. That's what I was told.
Now, was that told to you by police or who was the final statement
on that?
I
thought so. I thought Captain Rogers is the one that told us that.
Okay.
But, you know, in 5.5 months, I honestly can't tell you now.
Sure, sure.
And when that came out that it was a trucker, that shocked my whole family.
That was news to you. So you were under the impression of something totally different. So when this trucker theory came out, that was just completely out of left field. Okay.
Yep, we were shocked. Honestly, I wish Matt hadn't even brought it up when he did that first interview in Rapid, because I didn't think it was an issue and I didn't want any more drama. And now I don't even know what to think about it. I know it wasn't Chance's and that it was turned over to the right officials. Whether we got the right information or not, I can't tell you.
Well, let me ask you, Don, where are you at? You know, Matt has been doing, it appears he's been doing a lot of searching, a lot of involvement. Have you guys worked closely together with trying to find your son?
Yes. I haven't been able to go search with Matt. For one, my family can't be the one that find him now.
I would never ask that of you. I couldn't even imagine.
And that's why I don't understand why people keep saying that. You haven't even been down here. We were down for the first 3 weeks off and on. The first week we were there for 6 straight days. That was the hardest thing, driving out of that town. I talk to Matt often. I will support him in anything he needs. I've offered to help with finances or whatever we can do to help. And Matt wants to do this on his own. He doesn't want me to help pay for it. He will include me in anything that I want to do, or that Everett or Miles or Clay want to do. And I support what Matt's doing.
All right. So that kind of shuts a few things else down, you know? And this is, you know, I get that people that are tuning in, we have some first time listeners to this podcast. A lot of people are going to know exactly what they're jumping into when they hit play on this podcast. So,
yep.
So we just want to put that out there, that there's complete, you know, respect, communication, everything is good with you and Matt. There is no discord. There's no concern. Everything is on the up and up, and you support Matt, and he fully supports you, and that's the end of the story, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so that answers a ton for us, because like I said, you know, we're a podcast. We release our podcast, and we've got people that come out, you know, and send messages and things, you know. Yep. We open people bringing things to us, but we want to see facts, you know, and that's what we want for this case, is that there are so many rumors out there about this case right now. And bottom line is, not one of those rumors have led to where Chance is right now. It's going to be Christmas. You know, he just missed his birthday on Monday. None of these rumors are doing any good for anybody. I strongly suggest, if you are participating in focusing on rumors, that you step aside and start looking at the facts. And because that's where we have to start, and that's all we have to go on.
You know, Don, speaking with Lauren, was saying that Chance's birthday was just Monday. I want to ask you, what was that like?
There's no feelings. I was just numb. I didn't know what to do.
I took a few hours off from work. He should be there. I should be getting a text of him being laid on a couch. Had fun last night, Mom.
We 100% agree with you. And I can't begin. I have four children of my own. I can't even begin to imagine being in your shoes. We know this is extremely hard to discuss, but we need our listeners to hear this and know this isn't just another missing person. This isn't just a case number with Gearing PD. This is someone's son. This is someone's brother. This is someone's husband, grandson, friend. Chance is important. You know, a lot of times you see these cases, months go by, there's no information, and something new comes on the news. And that's not what this is. That's exactly why, as Crime Pursuit, we are here to keep this story alive, to keep it going, to keep the conversations up, to allow people who don't know Chance to connect with him as if he was your best friend and next door neighbor. Because
and that's what exactly he was.
And that's all we've heard. I mean, honestly, I would be only so privileged to have met him and be able to say the things, you know, the same things out of my own mouth, first person. So I can certainly attest for everybody that I've spoke to that spoke on your son's name. They would want nothing more than to always have a best friend like Chance, somebody like that on their team. So I can't imagine how this time is for you going into the holidays. Just everything that's going on, I can't even possibly imagine. So I kind of want to get back. We are going into the holidays. You know, we've had so many things go on, you know, with this case that didn't matter. You know, the things that do matter are, you know, we have a husband away from his wife, away from his son. How old is Banks now? He's born in May, so he's almost
about 7 months.
Okay. And so how, I mean, I know things have been hard, things have been tough, and that's not, you know, that's not a secret to anybody.
Yeah,
just, I mean, how has this affected you as a mother with the discord, with families, with the complete disconnect? If you, you know, can elaborate on that, just, I mean, where are your thoughts with that right now, as far as with, you know, we're going into the holiday season and you don't only not have contact with your son, but, you know, it's quite apparent that things are strained on the other side as well.
Yeah. I'm absolutely heartbroken, and he loved that baby so much, and he was such a good daddy in that short 3 months, and this is so unfair that he didn't get to be involved with this.
I mean, it's stolen time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just not fair. I want more. I want more from him. I want to be with him. We all want him home.
I can't even, again, like I said, I have four children of my own. I can't. I can't even place myself. I won't say I know how you feel, because that would be the most off-the-wall statement that I've made so far. I have no idea. Yeah. I can literally, you know, as cliche as it sounds, I can only imagine. And I just want to kind of further upon the fact that, you know, we are going to the holidays. There has been, you know, searches done. There is another one that was, you know, postponed, unfortunately, that was just recently postponed, that was supposed to happen. We've got another one coming after Christmas. What would you want to say as far as, you know, we've touched upon the fact there's rumors out there and there's fact. What we know right now is Chance talked to his friend Matt. He wanted to get out of where he was at. So I just want to clear facts up for everybody. Let's take away the fact maybe he made it to O Street, maybe he didn't. He was golfing. Yeah. We can agree to that. He was definitely golfing. Yes. Okay. For everybody who's like, was he on the golf course? Are photos photoshopped? Are they this? Are they that?
No.
He was on the golf course.
Yes.
He left that golf course roughly around 6:15-ish, somewhere in that range. He
was excited to go golfing. That's what doesn't even make sense either.
He was happy. I mean, that alludes to the fact of he knew who he was going with, and he was excited to go do this experience and golf with them. So there was no discord, no discomfort prior to going golfing.
No.
And so how do you feel about what happened on the golf course? Do you feel that the issue happened on the golf course, or do you feel like potentially what was already occurring between marital matters just really hit ahead when she was in her own hometown, around her own family, do you feel like that had a part in where we're at today?
I honestly don't know. I think some marital problems, probably some family problems, did not help. And unfortunately, if what was supposedly said to him, I could see him being hurt by it. I wish he wouldn't have been. It was a good job. So whether that comment was being teasing or took totally out of line, I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just going on what Bailey had told us.
What did she tell you? What did she tell you? What was the comment, if you don't mind me asking?
I was told that something was said about him making minimum wage, whether it was he was only making minimum wage or at least he's making more than minimum wage. I'm sure what Chance heard was minimum wage, and he was embarrassed.
And this is a young man who's 25 at the time, who has gotten married. He's proud of himself. He's got a 2-month-old son. You know, he's has every right to stand up and be, you know what I mean? And yeah. At that age, I mean, let's be honest, you've had a few drinks on the golf course. You just had a great day with these people, and now they're making a dig at you. Yeah. I mean, let's not say that we don't have a brother or a cousin that's a lot like Chance. That's like, hey, yeah. You know, I'm a good yeah. guy. Why are you digging at me? And it pisses yeah. you off. You know, let's yeah. be frank. It got under your skin and it ticked you off. Yeah. So you yeah. call, you know, and here's the thing is that everybody keeps saying he called Bailey. He did this. I don't know which is true, but either way, Bailey somehow, she says that he was in a great mood when she talked to him last. So she decided to come yep. up and visit him. And as yep. she walked up to the course, you know, she sees him over by a table, approaches the table, and Chance says, get in the car. We're out of here. Yep. He's ticked. Yep. So do you feel pretty confident knowing your son that that would be true? Exactly what Bailey said, you can see that happening.
Yes, okay. I could.
Okay.
And I will say, I'm not proud that I can hear him using that language with Bailey. What I'm saying is he didn't mean it to Bailey unless they told her something that she was doing. He didn't mean it towards Bailey. He meant it as, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's get the F out of here because I'm irritated. Done. You know, his anger yep. was towards the situation, not her.
Exactly, exactly.
Right, right, which is, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I can have a little bit of a temper, and I've been known to throw an F-bomb, you know, yep. a few of them, you know what I mean? So, I mean, yep. don't let me stub my toe. Everybody around me better watch out. So if you just came at me and something that and let's keep in mind, this man was 25 years old, just had an infant baby, just got laid off, and went and found a job the same day.
Yep.
How many people can say that? I know grown men that in that situation wouldn't have handled that situation the way he did. So for exactly. somebody to come back and make a comment, that's going to piss me off. I'm just going to say it. It's going to piss me off. I just, you know, I've got this baby. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, buddy. You know what I mean? So whether it was misinterpreted, I'm not saying that the comment was even said as yeah. a dig. You know, I yeah. totally can see yeah. being on a golf course, you've had a few beers and all you hear is minimum wage and, you know, yeah. it ticks you yeah. off. So I'm not saying that, you know, it was intentional yeah. by her family by any means. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if I heard it and I yeah. misinterpreted it, I can definitely say, screw your family right now. We just had this great day golfing and now they want to yep. talk crap and let's get out of here. So that's where we're at. You know, they go back to the house. Bailey says, you know, hey, I already called my friends and said, we're not doing dinner. You know, he's not getting talked back down from staying here. You know,
and I didn't even know they had dinner plans until the Vanished podcast came out.
Really? That was new to me. That was totally, totally new to you. So yep. let's just pause what I'm saying right now. What did you ever find out from Bailey?
Sunday night, we had a really good talk. We kind of cleared the air of some of the things that had happened the week before. I felt really good about things. She kind of broke down and cried, and she said she thinks she's afraid he's going to be coming home in a body bag.
Why does she think that?
That's 24 hours in, right?
Yeah.
it wasn't even 24 hours. But okay. Yeah. I never discussed it really because I didn't think anybody believed me. And I didn't think a whole lot then. I said, oh, honey, we got to stay positive.
Right.
I
mean, it can
happen, but no, we got to stay positive.
said, do you want me to come down right now? And she's like, no, it's late, it's dark. We've got it under control, don't worry.
Oh.
And I said, well, Bailey, I want to stay home because I honestly felt he would be coming down that driveway any minute and saying, God, Mom, I screwed up.
So on one hand for her, she says, I think he's coming home in a body bag. But on the other hand, it's okay. We're nonchalantly looking for him.
Right, exactly.
Is what she's, so all in the same sentence, same token, you literally got two different demeanors.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, one of extreme concern that, you know, her husband's coming home in a body bag. And then the other is, well, no, it's fine. We'll probably find him.
Yeah. Yes. And I to be honest, I'm not being necessarily fair to Bailey. I was numb.
Oh, of course. I mean, you're not even able to process at that point.
No. I went to church Sunday morning and I got out of church and my husband called and said, they're going to, they filed a missing person report. And I'm like, what do you mean they filed a missing person report? What does that mean? And he said, I don't know, Dawn, but you got to get home. I mean, things like that don't happen to people like us. So I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
I mean, this is your worst nightmare. And this is things, this is lifetime movie situations. As far as, at this point, as far as you're concerned, that's your experience with things like this.
Exactly. That's all I've ever seen. It was on TV. So far, it's not happened like we've seen on TV, though.
No. And so I kind of want to go, okay, so here we are. She's making this comment. Now that's on Sunday. Let's go to Monday. Monday's when you come down, right?
Yeah. So Monday morning, we got up and my husband and son went to the field to cut a little bit more hay. And she called and told him that they are starting the search parties. So they came home, said they're starting the search party. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess we better go. And he goes, it's about time you said that. But I kept thinking he was coming home.
In your mind, and I want to clarify on that because a lot of people have opinions on that as well. So in your mind, he's fleeing that situation. Where else is he going to go? Home? So you're thinking exactly. If he's walking or if he's gotten a ride from somebody, he's on his way to you.
Exactly. So until you heard the word search party.
That's when it got real.
Yeah, it got real.
Absolutely. And so now here we are Monday. We've had a search party. I would like to touch upon that Monday evening. Captain Rogers calls you and says, hey, need you and Bailey to come in. And I know that gave you some immediate worry, but then you calmed yourself down thinking, certainly he's not calling the mother and the wife in to tell us something, you know, dire, you know, he'd call, you know,
he'd have a dad there.
Yeah, he'd have somebody there to calm me down, you know, not just us two women. So when you walk into that, you know, he lets you know, we haven't found anything. This is where we're at with things. Just because it's a big topic of conversation, is that the time, that's when Bailey asked about a death certificate, correct?
That was the first time, yes.
The first time. Okay, so how did that conversation go?
Captain Rogers was just sitting there telling us what they had done that day, what the plan was for tomorrow, and Bailey and I both were upset that they quit so early. And he said he understood, and I said, you know, as a mom, I'm pissed. I want you still out there. It's still daylight. Keep looking. But as a mom, I know you have to take care of your crew and let them get home so they can start again tomorrow. So I appreciate that. So we were just having that discussion, and Bailey just looked up at him and said, so when do I get a death certificate? I was playing with the baby, and I just kind of looked down at her, and Captain Rogers really didn't know what to say. And he just kind of, I said, Bailey, just let's not go there. And he said, yes, Bailey, I honestly don't think anything happened to him. And I'm treating this like
at this point, he's a missing person. They haven't even declared any type of foul play, right?
I mean, right. That's what I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
They're just calling him missing. I mean, they haven't even said we found any foul play. To this day.
Actually, at that minute, they hadn't even considered him really missing. He said he is taking this case on like he was his own brother. That he had brothers growing up, and he was treating this as his own brother, and they were going to find him.
So at this point, in the back of Captain Rogers' mind, he's thinking, this kid just walked off. He's coming back forward. You know, he might be with somebody else cooling down. But at this point, it's never been brought to Bailey's attention that this is a homicide investigation or that there's any foul play.
No.
And so she's asking about a death certificate. So how did that, you know, so now you're sitting there, you're holding banks, and she asks about that. And so, I mean, I don't even want to know what went through your head, but tell me about after you left that room. What was the conversation with Bailey? What was furthered upon from that point? Did you ask her about that? Like, why would you say that? You know, what are your concerns, Bailey? You know, why, you know, was that further upon dawn that day?
No, we didn't talk about it.
Okay.
We just drove home and drove back to the grandparents. She'd gotten a call, and I took the baby out and sat with the family with the baby, and we never talked about it, ever.
You know what, Don? I got to give it to you. You, you my hero, because let me tell you, and I'm not criticizing you. Please don't take this, I'm criticizing you. But if that woman would have said anything about a death certificate, anything besides a birth certificate, and we sitting up here trying to find my child, and you ask them for a death certificate, have you ever heard them call me Petty Eddie?
It's his nickname.
It's my nickname. Because that's when the Petty would have came out. As soon as she would have said something about a death certificate, death what? No, detective, we going to need one for her. So that just got me just floored.
Well, let's bring up the fact that Donna just said that was the first time she brought that up.
Yeah.
So when did she bring it up again?
On Thursday, when we actually my whole family was there for that one, and 17 agencies and all their people. When we did the debriefing before we had the newscast, we did the debriefing. Basically, we're calling off the search. We're going to move it into an investigation now. And she asked again then.
So what was her, so she asked again then. So did she ever say what reason for? Was it because of, what was she going to do with it? What was the reason? Was she just wanting to hear the cops say that they're closing this case and yes, it's a homicide and we're not going to, ever further upon?
I honestly don't know. I, you know, that's what's hard. That first week, I was numb. I was scared. I'm sure she was numb and scared. I took it that she was worried about what she was going to do and how she was going to make it. And I told her that she was not quitting nursing school. We would apply for grants, beg Daryl or Barler money to get her through nursing school. I, of course, have nobody to help pay. I had two kids in college, but I was very proud of her. And I will state right now, I'm very proud of her.
Absolutely.
For being in nursing school. That's a hard thing to get into and stay with it and having a baby. I am proud of her.
Okay. So one thing you just said. If my husband came up missing, I didn't find the whole 401k thing too weird, only because if my husband came up missing, you know, I'm not going to clear it out, but like if I can borrow against it, just because my husband is the primary, you know, breadwinner, and it would definitely cause worry. I have children. I got to keep a roof over my head. So let's take that out of the fact. That's irrelevant to the, you know, because honestly, as his wife, depending how the work paperwork is at work, she could help institute a 401k loan without a death certificate. So that's, I want people to quit focusing on the fact that she wanted to take money out of the 401k and it correlated to the death certificate, because that could have been done without that death certificate. So I guess I'm saying it on the record. It concerns me on this death certificate. It does. It's a strange thing. You know, you get to questioning a death certificate, but then next to that, you lawyer up. Let's talk about that. So she lawyers up how soon after asking about this death certificate? Did you find out from police when they called to ask you, hey, can we even talk to you? Did she lawyer up?
I didn't even know she had a lawyer. It was probably closer to the third week. I'd gotten a call from Captain Rogers and asked if I was involved with the Nebraska attorney. And I don't understand what that means. And I'm like, I need an attorney. And he's like, no, I hope you guys don't have an attorney, but is the South Dakota family involved with this attorney? And then he finally explained that they had hired an attorney. And I said, well, does my family need an attorney? And he said,
no, I don't think so. And I said, well, if you can't talk to her, are you still going to be able to talk to me? Because the whole big thing is I'm not his next of kin.
And that was your big concern.
Yeah. And since I'm not his next of kin, because that was brought up several times in that 3 weeks that I'm not his next of kin, that I said, well, I hope I don't have to have an attorney. I don't have money to hire an attorney. I wouldn't even know who attorney is. And he said that he would talk to their attorney and that they still wanted to stay in contact with me. And they'd call me back and let me know. Never heard anything more about it. So I really don't know much about the attorney. I don't really talk to the Gearing PD a whole lot. He did call on another thing, and I said, hey, you never called me back. Can you even talk to me? And he said, oh, yeah, we can talk to you.
And so, and I just want to state that it was stated. So this is 3 weeks in. We now have a lawyer involved. This person is still just a missing person. There is no still, to this day, he is still considered missing. He is not considered endangered missing. He's not even considered foul play missing.
No.
But we have a lawyer involved, and we have the response for that lawyer being that it's going to speed things up on the search and finding details. Now we are 6 months later from that 3 weeks. Has it sped anything up?
No.
So essentially, wouldn't that kind of slow things down if you have to go through lawyers now to communicate, to cross-reference information or ask questions? I mean, in my eyes, that would actually slow it down versus speeding it up. But that's...
Well, and yeah, that's what Captain Rod... Because I said, why would one... I didn't say them. I said, why would one need an attorney at this time? And he told me that it was to speed up the process. But in essence, it slows everything down because now we have to go through a lawyer to talk to any of the other people. And that's why they wanted to make sure we weren't
Absolutely. So to this day, to touch everybody, I know you have openly made the statement that you would gladly hand over anything and have your family fully investigated to clear your name, to squash this family beef, so that there's not an issue. Has anyone, to your knowledge, been investigated so far?
No, I don't know of anything other than that the three of us were interrogated.
So you fully have been vetted. You have been cleared by Gearing PD.
Well, I hope so. They haven't came and got me, but
right. So, but I'm saying you've been talked to, and they have not came back for you, correct?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. We were there for 4.5 hours that Friday morning talking to them.
Okay. Yeah. So I just wanted.
And there was a comment made by a party member that phone records and lie detectors need to be taken. And instead of saying anything back to anything on that, I called Captain Rogers the next morning and I said, where do all of our family and friends need to release their phone records to? And what do we need to do to have some lie detector tests done that my family will pay for them even? And we will all come down and take lie detector tests. And whoever wants to take them, I will pay for them if that's an issue. And Captain Rogers said, oh, Dawn, we don't want anything from you. We don't need anything.
Okay. So. Well, there you go. So you and your family, Aunt Katie, everybody that has been involved with this case and names have been brought up are more than willing to provide that information if they wanted to open their home tomorrow to be looked through, phone records, polygraph, whatever.
Absolutely. And honestly, there was a deputy from another county that Bailey had called in to ask to look over the case. And I was very open with him. I honestly gave him my Verizon password, said, go in, you get whatever records you can pull because you know more about this stuff than I do.
Right. And so you've been an open book.
Yep. So there is a deputy in Nebraska that has access to my Verizon account and can do whatever he wanted to at that time. He had 2.5 months free range with it.
Do you have any awareness to Bailey's family being tied to law enforcement in any way? Retired or current? So that's just been a big thing that's gone around and...
Yeah.
Which is really here neither there, but the reason I ask is because it follows up on the fact that you have said, and you've said publicly on our podcast, you will give a, you know what I mean? You've been more than forthcoming. You're bringing everything there. It's just the fact that there are lawyers involved that are holding up these investigations on other people. Yep. And being it's a missing persons case, we have no evidence to anything. Therefore, it's still a missing persons case. If we had any evidence and it you know, reflected any one way, this case may be switched over to endangered. It may be switched over to something different. However, at this point, we're still at a missing person, but we now have the hindrance of obtaining certain information due to the fact that there is no evidence, which means you cannot obtain a search warrant or certain warrants for certain information. So at that point, you are relying on the cooperation of family members and people involved to provide certain information to law enforcement, which if they're saying one thing, whether it's accurate, whether it's not, it's kind of left just as that until something else comes up to question that via, you know, the proper protocol, which would be obtaining evidence to then apply to a warrant to get signed off on a judge. So that's where we're at. You've got everything open and you're willing to let anybody look through that. But we've got the hindrance of, you know, all these questions. And I'm just going to be frank. I mean, I'm going to be so honest with these cases. This is not my first rodeo, and pun intended. We're talking about chance. It's not my first rodeo. You don't see grown men become victims of a complete chance of opportunity crime walking down the road. You don't. Yep. So I'm going to go on the record to say that how I feel about this case is that he knows whatever, somebody knows what happened to him, and the person that knows what happened to him, he knows them as well. He's in a town that he's not from. You know what I mean? The odds of him being a crime of opportunity are so slim to none. Being a grown man who's 5'10", 195 pounds, you're not the first person I'm going to go pick a fight with. So to execute something of that level, you either have something that happened in either the spur of the moment, heat of the moment, passion, or you have something that's premeditated, point blank. Or he walked off. And we've determined from all family, every man, every person that knows this man has said he couldn't last this long not talking to us. So we've definitely taken that off the table. He didn't just walk off. I mean, I'm not law enforcement. I'm not making a public statement by any means that law enforcement said this. I'm telling you from what I've, my experience, he didn't just walk off, and he wasn't also a victim of a crime of opportunity. How do you feel on that?
Shocked, angry, because that's basically what I keep getting told by law enforcement, that he must have still walked away, that there's nothing more they can do. They don't need to call anybody else in to help with it. Things here and there that somebody in Terrytown got him and beat him up and robbed him and dumped him. It was broad daylight.
Right.
Terrytown, I'm sure, from what everybody says down there, it's sketchy. We walked the Terrytown. It's a normal low-income area. The people were very nice. People invited us in their homes. Chance would have never even been scared to walk through the... It was a trailer park with some duplexes. It was nothing.
It sounds like the type of town that, you know, if I was on my own, or if you were on your own, Don, yeah, we might be a little sketched out, and I'm definitely going to have my phone pulled up, and I've got keys or whatever I've got in my hands ready to swing on somebody if they walk up on me. But somebody who's 5'10", 195 pounds, and is let's go back to the rodeo. I mean, this kid's been thrown around on horses. I mean, he's not scared of a bump or a bruise. He's not going to be intimidated to walk through this area. I mean, he's not doing anything wrong. It's not like he's walking around with a sign on his forehead that says, hey, I'm not from here. Victimize me. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's just walking. So I'm not buying the fact that, you know what I mean? Like, whoever picked him up knew who he was, and he knew who they were, and he felt safe in it. And I'm going to go with Aunt Katie's theory, and something transpired from that and went wrong. Or... you know, I mean, and I'm not even going for the fact, I know we have the underwater drones. I know, and I'm not saying that, search everywhere, search high and low. Anybody listening to this podcast, if you're in the area and you have private property, you have any type of land, you have the free time to donate, please do. Look everywhere. I'm not one of those people that's like, this is my theory and this is how it was and this is verbatim, because anything can happen. I'm just saying, if you're on a mission to get the hell out of somewhere, you're not going to walk through the least resistant. You know, you're going past the path of least resistance, which is a straight line. Yep. That's a straight line. So you're going to keep walking where you were walking. So the last place that he was seen on camera, we can confirm that was him. You're his mother. You gave birth to him. You've said, I saw the video. It's my son.
Yep.
We last know he was in that area. So common sense says he's going to keep walking straight.
Uh-huh.
And then there we are. You know what I mean? So, and I want to point out that this path that he took was a straight shot the whole way. So if anybody was looking for Chance, they could have found him. If you're driving around looking for Chance, you're going to find him.
That's what I would think. But for some reason, they didn't know.
Well, you know, Don, I know this is rough, but I have to ask, what do you think happened to your son?
I think somebody he knew picked him up and they hurt him. I don't know who. I don't know why. And, you know, I can't say as a family member. I can't, because I spent the week with Scott. Scott was devastated.
For reference, who is Scott?
Bailey's dad.
Okay.
He was with us pretty much every day. There was a few days he had to go to work, but he always checked on us at night. From what I know, Tracy was on a train on Saturday, so...
I do. I'm glad you brought her up, and only because I'll be honest with you. We've reached out to Bailey. I will say it publicly on the podcast. We've not heard anything.
And I asked you to make sure. I wanted her to have the same advantage.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to make this. Everybody wants to send us messages, so you hear it yourself. If you are connected to this case in any way, family or friends connected, I don't want people who don't know this family. I don't need the friends from middle school. That's not what I'm talking about. If you are connected to this case, preferably Bailey's family, because
Bailey.
We would love Bailey. To speak with you.
Petty Eddie want to talk to you, girl.
Well, and we also want to give her the opportunity to clear the air. You know, this is a platform that you can speak on. I know there are lawyers involved. I'll tell you right now, we will literally turn that mic on, and I won't. You guys have gotten to know me a little bit over the past two podcasts. I can talk. Your girl can talk. I will shut my mouth and let you say what you want to say. And I will open that platform up to whatever you say is your truth, is your facts. Here you go. Here's the mic. I'll be honest with you. We've tried to make contact with Trace. Bailey has flat out said she's searched harder than anybody. We would love to hear about that. We'd love to know where your search efforts have been. If you need more volunteers to help you join, we'd love to bring them to you. So we would love to hear somebody other than Chance's family, Chance's friends, speak up on this case to bring some answers to this. Because I'm going to be honest, we've given the opportunity. Has anybody confirmed an interview with us? Nope. Matt did. Don did. Everybody else we've reached out to that we wanted to speak to has yet to reach out to us. So here's my public plea. If you are connected to this case and you were on that side of the family and you're able to speak to us, I'm not saying I want to badger you or give you the 50th degree. Just speak up and say something. Bring some truth, bring some respect to this man's life, and let's bring attention to who Chance was and that he is still not found. And let's get this man found. It's about to be Christmas. So that's where we're at with it, Dawn. I know Ed wants to ask you a few more questions, and we are going to wrap this up because you have been more than kind. I feel like
I do want to tell you that Tracy has searched a lot.
Okay. You definitely speak on that.
I totally 100% agree. She's been amazing on searching. I've never once denied that. Bailey picked my son Miles up, and they went down and spent 3 days at looking. He stayed at Kyler and Brody's house and did whatever Bailey wanted him to do to look. So they've looked. I will totally agree with that.
No, I mean, I don't disagree that they haven't, but...
I
appreciate you confirming that, just to stand up for yourself, that you're not a part, you know. I'm not saying that they haven't looked either. I just would love to hear about these searches, about, you know, let's help be the advocate that brings that bridge to put this water underneath it. You've got Matt out looking, you've got, you know, Trace and her family out looking. Let's bring this together, because ultimately everybody has the same goal, and there may be this going on, there may be that going on. But everybody is bigger when they come together and enforce, you know, separate, you know, you're something, but together you're definitely a force. And so it needs, and this is bottom line about Chance. It's not about, you know, any kind of drama. Exactly. It's about Chance. And I want to always constantly bring it back to that this is about Chance Engelbert, who is a missing man, who is a son, who is a father, who is a grandchild, who is a brother. And bottom line, we need Chance to be found, and preferably, you know, with the help of everyone included in that, not, you know what I mean? Without this situation is stressful enough and hard enough on everyone that there doesn't, especially this time of year, you know, there doesn't need to be that type of disconnect and discord. So we would love to be that bridge that helps bring that back together. We would love to give Bailey a voice to speak on, her family, anybody that would like to come forward and just step up for us, because we want to get the story out here. So I didn't mean to sound frustrated earlier, but I am deeply affected by this story. So I want everybody to speak up on it. If you have the opportunity to speak up on Chance and bring some facts and some awareness, please, please message us. We will help organize that to give you a voice to speak on that, because ultimately rumors aren't going to do any good. The facts are going to be what finds him, and bringing people together, you know, in numbers is what's going to be what finds this man.
Yes. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we come to the end, and there is something, Dawn, I want to ask you. If you had one last thing that you wanted to say to Chance and he was listening right now, what would you say?
We love you so much. And we just don't understand what happened. And we need you. We need you bad. Just that we love him.
Okay. You know what? I'm very proud that you continue to fight for him. Sitting here listening to this interview, it has been tough. I mean, you have, you know, been upset from the beginning to the end. And I'm just proud that you stood strong, Don. I really am. Because I'm a parent too of 5 children. And I don't know what it's like to be in your situation. But I just want you to know that we're praying for you, okay?
Well, thank you so much.
And you just keep fighting for him. And you just keep talking when you're at work, when you're at church. When you at the store, you keep talking about your son Chance, okay?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we will stay in touch. Okay. You know, people say, Ed, how do you do it? How do you and Lauren do it? We don't sleep much.
We don't. But we're here. We want you to be able to reach out. We want your family too. We want to be there for you, and just don't ever hesitate. We're not, you know, we're a podcast, but we are ultimately brought into this because of our own reasons, things we've been affected by. So I can't say that I can 100%, you know, empathize to the fact of knowing what you're going through, but we are here. You know, we've all been through a little something, and that's what brought us to this forum to be able to create this platform to speak on and to help families like your family. So we absolutely welcome, you know, anytime you, it could, you know, a 3 o'clock in the morning phone call. If you need somebody to just kind of be an emotional punching bag, you know, we're here. So.
Okay. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Absolutely.
Okay. So do you have a Facebook page or a website where people can, you know, get in touch with you regarding your son?
We do. And it's Help Find Chance Engelbert.
And is that a Facebook page or is that a website?
Yes, sir. Yep. It's a Facebook page.
Okay. Give the name, the exact name, how they can find it. Do you have a Twitter account or anything?
We don't have a Twitter account. We just have the, like I said, we have a Bring Chance Home 2019 at gmail.com. If you want to send us anything through an email, reach out to the Help Find Chance Engelbert page. Any way that you can share anything with us.
Absolutely. And we'd like to mention also, there's always Let's Start with Chance that is ran by Matt Miller, which is one of Chance's co-workers and friends. And so between those two groups, you can find information as far as helping with searches, as far as helping with donations. I know that, you know, everybody's wanting to help and find a way to do that. Number one thing is share his story. Get that name out there and share that story. If you're able to do more in the area, absolutely. We would definitely, you know, give you all respects for being able to doing so. But that number one thing is, wherever you are in this country, you can share that story. So we definitely ask that you, we have a, on our Crime Pursuit page on Facebook, we definitely have his story there. We've got information and links that will connect you to these groups. So we definitely ask you to, if anything, just share the story.
Yep, great. Okay, well, Don, we appreciate you coming on, and
thank you so much.
We will talk to you again tomorrow, and you have a free open to talk to us, okay?
All right, thank you so much.
All right, you take care.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, well, we have to go, but we want you to follow us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, TuneIn, iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and we have Stitcher. We're on Facebook, okay? Our Facebook is Crime Pursuit Podcast. Now, go on there, like it, follow it. If you want to send us a message, interact, or a case suggestion, send it. We'll interact with you. It'll either be me or Lauren. So don't feel afraid to reach out, okay? All right. Take care. Good night.